But you've been listening to Milad Mazari. We'll have the archive up on the Wave Farm website that you can listen back to.
This is Simon Shaheen. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Andrew Barwick of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Coxsackie Village officials said September 24th, the time frame for public comment on the proposed stipulations for a 50-megawatt solar farm is nearing an end. The Hecate Energy Project is slated to be sited on about 400 acres on Farm to Market Road in Coxsackie and will use approximately 170,000 solar panels. Hecate Development Director Gabe Wapner explained that there are three phases to the Article 10 process, and the stipulations being reviewed originated from public comment. Village Mayor Mark Evans said the village will likely object to a few of the stipulations. Evans declined to say which of them were found to be objectionable until the board votes in October. Evans said, and I quote, "There were some questions we needed further information on. Our attorney will be getting the information for those questions, and we plan to vote in October," end quote. The lifespan of the Hecate project is projected to be 20 to 40 years, Wapner said. He said Hecate will offer $4 million to $6 million in incentives for the life of the project for the community. The public comment period for the project ends September 26. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Kayla Harris reports for the Albany Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to release a proposal to legalize the recreational use of marijuana in January inside next year's state budget. Cuomo plans to meet with leaders from nearby states to devise a, and I quote, common framework, end quote, for marijuana laws, including minimum ages or permitted THC content. Cuomo said, and I quote, "The best way to get things done, I think we can all agree, is in the state budget. When it's not in the state budget, that's when things get problematic," end quote. Individual lawmakers get less sway over legislation included in the budget, and Democrats have little choice but to vote for the overall spending bill. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union. The Daily Freeman is reporting Columbia County resident and Bard College faculty member Jeffrey Gibson has been named a 2019 MacArthur Fellow. Recipients of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation's so-called Genius Grants each receive $625,000 over 5 years to use as they please. Gibson, 47, an artist-in-residence in Bard's Studio Arts program, maintains a studio in Claverett. Gibson is a Choctaw Cherokee artist, and I quote, who incorporates his heritage into his multidisciplinary work, which includes abstract sculptures, paintings, and prints, end quote, according to Bard College. The Chicago-based MacArthur Foundation also named Valeria Lucelli to the list of 26 fellows as well. Lucelli, 36, is a writer in residence in Bard's Written Arts Program. She is an award-winning author of fiction and nonfiction whose books have been published in more than 20 languages. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo's office announced on September 26 that menthol has been added to New York's ban on flavored tobacco in e-cigarettes. Cuomo said, and I quote, "It is clear that vape and e-cigarette companies are using flavors to get young people hooked on their products. And in New York, we have taken several actions to put an end to this marketing tactic," end quote. The flavored tobacco ban starts on October 4th. The New York State Thruway Authority announced earlier this week they are moving to a complete cashless toll system by the end of 2020. So construction on gantries, bridge-like overhead structures that will replace toll booths, will be happening for the next 2 years. The authority has a map of the construction. Work just started at Exit 21B in Coxsackie and Exit 22 near Selkirk and should be complete in January. Construction at Exit 21 in Catskill will take place next summer, May through August. Exit 20 in Saugerties will start in October and be complete in March if the construction schedule holds. The New York State Bridge Authority is expected to implement a toll hike on all Hudson River crossings next year, but the amount of the increase is still unknown. Ayla Harris is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, September 26, signed a legislation extending New York's deadline for voters to change their party registration ahead of the 2020 primary elections. The new law eliminates the previously scheduled October 11th deadline, giving voters until February 14th to change parties and still vote in the primary elections in April and June. The bill, passed by the state legislature in June, sat on Cuomo's desk unsigned for months, causing the campaign manager for Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders to urge the Democratic National Committee to demand Cuomo sign the bill into law. Progressives have rallied for years for New York to change its strict deadline. Party leaders previously defended the state's very early registration deadlines as a defense against the practice of party raiding, in which members of a rival party change their affiliation to undercut the opposing party's candidate selection. Read the full story in the Times Union. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that Catskill Housing Authority Executive Director Nina Krupski stepped down 2 weeks ago. No interim head has been named, and the board is one member short. On September 25th, a scheduled meeting was canceled for lack of a quorum. Chairperson Sam Aldi said, and I quote, "Patrick McCulloch had a water main break, and Louise Schwartz had a dentist appointment," end quote. Kimberly Jones-Holt also attended the meeting with Aldi, who would not say why Krupski left. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. New York State's foliage report has some higher elevations in the Catskills nearing peak this weekend. Look for 70% color change and gold, green, and red leaves. The mountains of Greene County will see up to 50% color transition this weekend, with midpoint to near peak foliage in elevations above 2,000 feet. Look for bright touches of red, yellow, orange, and green. Observers reporting from the town of Catskill expect foliage will be 35% changed by the weekend, with vibrant colors of red, orange, and yellow with a hint of purple. At Belair Mountain in Ulster County, community of Highmount, foliage will be nearing midpoint of change by the weekend, with 30% color transition and average to bright yellow and orange leaves coming on strong. Observers reporting from Kingston project 10 to 15% color change with yellow, orange, and red leaves. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website,
WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the weekend. Saturday brings a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 58. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low of around 46. So there you have your weather update. Brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Saturday, September 28th, WGXC Live will broadcast the live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where the band Camp St. Helene will perform. Wesley Harper opens the show and DJ Matt Wagner performs later. There should be a live web stream at WGXC.org around 9 p.m. Click on Listen Now at the top of the page and scroll down to find the web stream. The show will air on 90.7 FM until 10 p.m., then continue online until 2 a.m. at WGXC.org. Visit theavalonlounge.com for more information. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a broadcast partner with WGXC.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at WGXC.org, including some of these events.
On Saturday, September 28th, the 2019 Columbia Green Walk to End Alzheimer's starts with registration at 10 a.m., followed by the ceremony at 11 and the walk beginning at 11:15 a.m. from Dutchman's Landing. Registration is necessary. More information at alz.org/walk. Visit and browse the extensive collection of city directories, yearbooks, and local history books, and research items in the archival collection at the Hudson Area Library's History Room open hours. The public can also request information on local history that volunteers will research from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Drag Queen Storytime is a family-friendly and inclusive event co-presented with Out Hudson. Infants to 7-year-olds are invited to this session featuring local resident and multi-talented performer Ella Gent. Cookies by Trixie's Oven at the Hudson Area Library from 11 to 12 noon. The Caro Development Foundation's Caro Bears Community Art Project Auction, with 49 bears on the block, will be held at the Crystal Brook Mountain Brew House in Winter Clove Road in Round Top, starting at 2 p.m. Louis Macia and the Coosacke Athens Teachers Association present The Work Project, portraits of working-class people accompanied by readings of their oral histories. Reception, art exhibition, and performance at 6:30 p.m. at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill. Gong Brattleboro is a small festival of music showcasing new experimental works in a genre of Indonesian traditional music called gamelan. These new works make special usage of electronics to connect this traditional music to the contemporary movement of noise, also currently very prevalent in Indonesia. Held at Epsilon Spires on Main Street in Brattleboro, Vermont, from 7 to 10 p.m. Diane Cluck and Hudson's Emily Ritz perform at BSP Kingston starting at 8 p.m. Camp St. Helene, Wesley Harper, and DJ Matt Wagner perform at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill with live web stream on WGXC.org.
On Sunday, September 29th, the Hudson Area Library continues its fall 2019 lineup of Music in the Stacks, a series of free Sunday afternoon concerts featuring local and international artists and hosted by Hudson Area Youth Organizations with a concert by Miho Hattori from 4 to 5:30 p.m. Music blog Raven Sings the Blues invites L.A. psych rock band Olden Yoke to play with an opening set by Philly psych pop band Honey Radar and Mosses at the Half Moon in Hudson at 7:30. The musician, actor, playwright, and author Storm Large will perform at Club Helsinki Hudson on Columbia Street at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting wgxc.org/calendar. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire. My clothes may still be torn and tattered.
To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States.
This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. ARRL is inviting campus radio clubs to join a Facebook Live event on Wednesday, October the 16th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The University of Arizona Amateur Radio Club is hosting the event. ARRL staff member Bob Inderbitzen, NQ1R, and students from the radio club will discuss topics involving amateur radio clubs at colleges and universities, including how to recruit student members, popular activities for campus radio clubs, and amateur radio as a springboard for career connections, networking, and practical experience. Your ideas and questions are welcome, and student radio club members and advisors may participate. This event will stream live on the ARRL Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative Facebook group, where collegiate radio clubs may share information, techniques, and resources. The ARRL Collegiate Amateur Radio Initiative is sponsored in part by the W1YSM Snyder Family Collegiate Amateur Radio Endowment Fund. As the September 30th date for the closing of the Official Observer program nears, ARRL expressed deep appreciation to the hundreds of volunteers who gave their time as official observers to help preserve the integrity of the amateur radio frequencies. The official observer program has served the amateur radio community and assisted the FCC Enforcement Bureau for more than 85 years. The program is giving way to the new Volunteer Monitor Program, established as part of a formal partnership between the ARRL and the FCC. ARRL and the FCC signed a Memorandum of Understanding earlier this year that establishes the Volunteer Monitor Program as a successor to the official observers. The first volunteer monitors should be in place and ready to begin their duties this fall. The FCC proposed the program following the closures of several FCC regional offices and a reduction in field staff. Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, who once handled amateur radio enforcement for the FCC, was named to oversee the development and implementation phases of the volunteer monitoring program. Under the new program, volunteers trained and vetted by ARRL will monitor the airwaves and gather evidence that could be used to correct misconduct as well as to recognize exemplary on-the-air operation. The WWV Centennial Celebration and the related WW0WWV Amateur Radio Special Event gets underway tomorrow. WW0WWV will begin operation on Saturday, September 28th at midnight UTC and will continue through October 2nd at midnight UTC. The National Institute of Standards and Technologies, the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club, and the WWV Amateur Radio Club have teamed up to organize the 100th anniversary events. WW0WWV will be active around the clock on 160 through 6 meters on CW, single sideband, and FT8. FT8 operation will be in the fox and hound mode except on 160 meters. W3V in Maryland will also celebrate the 100th anniversary of WWV. It will use the former WA3NAN Space Shuttle HF retransmission frequencies of 3.860, 7.185, 14.295, 21.395, and 28.650 MHz, as well as amateur satellites. In DX news, there are a number of DX operations starting this weekend and lasting through the first week of October. Look for A35JT from Tonga, KV1J/FP from St. Pierre in Miquelon, JD1BNA from Minami Torishima, ZK3A from Tokelau, W39KJ from Vietnam, 5H3MB from Tanzania, 9H3GK from Malta, D44WTO on Cape Verde, and A82X in Liberia. And finally, there are three ARRL conventions taking place this weekend. The Dakota Convention is in Fargo, North Dakota, and that'll be going on tomorrow, September 28th. The Washington State Convention in Spokane Valley, also on the 28th, and the Central Division Convention in Milwaukee is going on the 28th and 29th. And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
It has been reported that FO-29, after being silent for a period of time, has suddenly returned to operation with really good signals. There has been no report from JAMSAT about the cause or the cure. Try to use minimal amount of power when accessing the satellite, and maybe it will be able to last a long, long time. There are only some 90-plus days left until December 31st. If you have not started working the satellites to earn the AMSAT 50th Anniversary Friends of 50 Award, you need to get going. The award requirements are to make one contact on 50 different days on any satellite. It can be the same station or a different station. Does not matter. There's still plenty of time to earn the award. In about 40 days or so, your chance to earn the award will run out. For more information on this 50th anniversary award and all the others, visit AMSAT.org, click on Events, and the AMSAT 50th Anniversary Awards Program. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WBAIMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, September 27th. With summertime in the Northern Hemisphere now a memory, we can note that the sun was spotless 90% of the time this summer. According to scientists, this behavior marks the deepest solar minimum in nearly a century. Let's hope the predictions of its pending end are accurate. About a month ago, we were blasted with intense solar winds from a huge hole in the sun's atmosphere. Well, that hole still exists, and as they say, what goes around comes around. The hole is rotated back into view, so we can expect to be on the receiving end of another blast this weekend. This may make for difficult conditions during the CQ-WPX RIDI contest. On VHF and UHF, from Texas north to Wisconsin, look for tropo openings on 2 meters and up. Those along the west coast, particularly in coastal Oregon and Washington, should be on the lookout as well.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.
Bobby Previtt has a 2018 album called Rhapsody with singer Jen Hsu, harpist Zena Parkins, pianist John Medeski, and on acoustic guitars, Nils Klein from Wilco. This song is called Casting Off from Bobby Previtt's 2018 release Rhapsody.
I see. Thank you. This is Esme.
This is Everett.
We're from Prairieville.
This is Ethel. I'm from Iowa. You're listening to WGSC.
90.7 FM.
Guam, Catskill, Hudson.
Creative Community Radio.
If you can't make your local town meetings but want to attend, WGXC can help. Currently, local volunteers make recordings and live web streams of the Catskill Town Meetings, the Hudson Common Council Meetings, and the Columbia County Board of Supervisor Meetings. If you miss the live web streams, volunteers post recordings of these meetings as soon as possible at WGXC.org on the newsroom page and in the audio archives. If you're going to local meetings and you have a phone in your pocket, you can help too. Email info@WGXC.org and WGXC will help you share recordings of local meetings and events. You can also use the free WGXC app, available in the App Store, to do your own live webcast from local events. Contact info@WGXC.org for more information about how you can help share valuable local information about your community with your friends and neighbors. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Peter Frank of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Let's talk about impeachable offenses. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has launched an impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump.
And this week, the president has admitted to asking the president of Ukraine to take actions which would benefit him politically. The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Speaker Pelosi has been pressured for months on impeachment from congressional and grassroots progressives. An intelligence community whistleblower raised concerns over a phone call last July that Trump held with Ukraine's new president, Volodymyr Zelensky, pushing more moderate Democrats to support an impeachment inquiry. Trump admitted he asked Ukraine to investigate his political rival, that's former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, and ordered withholding of Ukrainian aid. Such behavior may rise to the high crimes and misdemeanor standard for impeachment, but isn't Trump already deserving of an impeachment inquiry many times over? On May 17, 2017, less than 4 months into Trump's presidency, Democratic Congressmember Al Green of Houston was the first to take to the House floor calling for Trump's impeachment. Within days, Green, who's African-American, was receiving death threats. One voicemail threatened, "You ain't gonna impeach nobody, you bleep. Try it and we'll lynch all you bleep. You'll be hanging from a tree." On Wednesday, the day after House Speaker Pelosi announced the impeachment inquiry, Congressmember Green, appearing on the Democracy Now! News Hour, agreed that the Ukrainian issue is an impeachable offense.
I would also mention the emoluments clause, and articles have been filed with reference to the president benefiting from persons who are staying in his hotels and And that's much to be said about that. I would also never forget the racism, the bigotry, the xenophobia, the homophobia, the Islamophobia, the fact that the president has infused his bigotry into policy.
The case for an emoluments impeachment is ever growing, it seems. Foreign delegations and lobbyists regularly stay at Trump International Hotel in Washington, D.C., and spend lavishly there. Ukrainian President Zelensky, according to the declassified transcript released by the White House Wednesday, let Trump know that he stayed at Trump Tower in New York's Central Park. Trump has been accused of rape, sexual assault, and sexual harassment by at least 24 women. These accusations alone certainly provide cause for an impeachment inquiry. Trump has retaliated against many of these women, threatening to sue them or crassly insulting them as not his type. Trump himself has admitted on the notorious Access Hollywood tape that he forces himself on women.
Start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
The policy agenda that Donald Trump is pursuing based on climate science denial amounts to an impeachable offense. He's accelerating environmental destruction, leading to irreversible, catastrophic climate change. The Trump administration pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement and tirelessly rolls back environmental regulations while boosting the extraction and sale of fossil fuels.
We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
That's 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg ferociously reprimanding the adults gathered at the United Nations Climate Action Summit Monday. Showing up at the summit for just 14 minutes, Trump mocked Thunberg on Twitter, saying she looked like, quote, a very happy young girl looking forward to a bright and wonderful future, unquote. The authority to wage war, to direct the U.S. military to kill people, is the presidential power that demands the most intense oversight by Congress and by the public. Trump ran for president promising to withdraw from foreign wars, but has delivered the opposite. Recently in Afghanistan, the U.S. launched a drone strike that killed 30 civilians, pine nut farmers resting in the shade, and participated in a nighttime raid that killed an estimated 40 civilians, prolonging the longest war in U.S. history. Trump continues to support Saudi Arabia's devastating bombing of Yemen that has killed thousands of civilians. A recent Saudi bombing of a community college killed at least 109 people there. Millions of Yemenis are at risk of starvation in what's described as the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Congress has twice passed bipartisan legislation to block arms sales to the Saudis, which Trump has vetoed. He's also ordered more troops to Saudi Arabia to protect its oil facilities and lavishes praise on Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. October 2nd marks the first anniversary of the brutal murder and dismemberment of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi in a Saudi consulate in Turkey, which the CIA concluded was ordered by bin Salman. Trump's warmongering is an impeachable offense in itself. President Trump's refusal to support gun control legislation, mass shooting after mass shooting, his prolific lying, his relentless attacks on the press, his elimination of critical programs in our social safety net, his discrimination against trans people in the military and in schools, his Muslim ban, his separation of families and caging of children, all are worthy of an impeachment inquiry. As Congressmember Al Green says,
we have to at some point stand up to him and let him know that the line has been drawn and you will go no further.
I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
October 11th is the deadline to register for the November 5th town and county elections. This year, though, voting begins October 26th at a limited number of locations. Locally, Green has one location in Catskill, while other voters registered in Columbia County have three locations to vote ahead of November 5th, the county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Valencia, and the Copeg Town Hall in Copeg. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance site at 978 Coal Hill Road in East Bern will be set up for all voters registered in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerlo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm Avenue in Delmont will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coeymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall at 265 Sherman Road in Castleton-on-the-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain a political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home of more Democrats than GOP members. Your forecast for the weekend. Saturday brings a slight chance of showers, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. It will be mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms before midnight. It will be mostly cloudy with a low of around 58. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low of around 46. So there you have your weather update. Brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Hi, this is Linda Tripp, 4-H educator for Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties. Visit the Catterskill Gallery at Columbia Greene Community College in October to view the 4-H art exhibit showcasing block prints from over 75 4-H club members. Join us for the opening reception on Thursday, October 10th from 5 to 7 p.m. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal program and employment opportunities.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeffrey Economy of Saugerties, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2187 with the release date of Friday, September 27, 2019, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Australian regulators announce license conditions and U.S. reciprocity changes. The Radio Club of America honors some of radio's best. And let's celebrate 100 years of timekeeping. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2187 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kinford. N8WB.
Our top story this week is about sweeping changes in Australia, changes that affect more than just that nation's hams. Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, has been following that story.
Good news has just been announced for US amateurs wishing to operate in Australia. The Australian regulator, the ACMA, is renewing the reciprocal license agreement between the two nations. Amateur radio operators have a hard-won welcome mat waiting when they visit Down Under. In April 2019, the Australian Communications and Media Authority placed a hold on the issuing of reciprocal licences for US hams. The ACMA recently announced reinstatement of reciprocity for holders of approved equivalent US licence classes who wish to operate for as long as 12 months. Those wishing to operate longer must pass the Australian Amateur Radio Regulations exam. Volunteer Examiners Australia, the team facilitating VE exams in Australia, assisted the ACMA with its review. There were also concerns that Australia might withdraw from compliance with the Harmonised Amateur Radio Examination Certificate, or HARIC, which would affect the 90-day guest operating SEPT arrangements. Meanwhile, the ACMA's long-awaited review of licence conditions has just been announced. Here are the highlights. Links to the relevant documents are in the show notes at arnewsline.org. Entry-level foundation license holders are no longer restricted from operating digital modes or with homebrew equipment. All classes of license may operate all modes. HF mode bandwidth restrictions have been relaxed, with a bandwidth of up to 8 kHz allowed. but the 630 and 2200 meter bands retain a maximum bandwidth of 2.1 kHz. Geographic restrictions are to be implemented for the use of the shared 3.6 GHz band. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
If you're a ham in New Zealand, you have an opportunity to get involved with a digital amateur TV repeater. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us what that's all about.
Hams in New Zealand are being asked to contact the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, their national society, if they want to be involved in the testing and building of a repeater for digital amateur television. NZART has grown concerned about the slow progress of a repeater project which was begun some time ago. The repeater would make use of a guard band just above 500 MHz. NZART hopes to receive expressions of interest from clubs or branches willing to work towards delivering the project within 18 months of its start date, providing updates every 6 months that include reports of milestones. NZART hopes to make its decision to allocate the DATV repeater project no later than the 6th of November. Interested hams or groups should contact NZART via email at nzart@nzart.org.nz. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Being absent is not an excuse anymore. If you wanted to be part of this summer's CPAC workshop in Oregon, you still can. Just do it online. As Andy Morrison, K9AWM, tells us.
Hams who were unable to attend this year's CPAC, the Northwestern Division Convention of the ARRL, can still benefit from the discussions they missed during the three-day gathering this summer in Oregon. Visit the website seapac.org and view Power and Communication When Everything Goes Dark, a workshop which was recently uploaded for viewing. The workshop was led by Mark Brakey, KB7RHI, Delvin Bunton, NS7U, and Karen Trumbull, KE7NYH. Meanwhile, the committee is already organizing next year's event, which will be held from June 5th through the 7th at the Seaside Convention Center, which has been newly renovated. The guest speaker will be cardiologist Scott Wright, K0MD, of Rochester, Minnesota, editor of the ARRL National Contest Journal. Meanwhile, catch up on the proceedings from this past summer and make your plans to attend next year. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
In case you're wondering who the big winners were at this year's ARDF Championships in Slovenia, the top scores have been posted. Ed Durant, DD5LP, tells us more.
Winning scores have been released for the 22nd IARU Region 1 ARDF Championships, which were held in Rogla, Slovenia, from the 2nd through the 8th of September by the Slovenian Amateur Radio Society, ZRS, who welcomed amateurs from many IARU Region 1 countries. The United States also sent a guest competitor who was not part of the official competition. In all, 315 competitors faced off in four disciplines: sprint, foxhawing, and two classic hunts on HF and VHF bands. There were 110 sets of competition medals awarded. Results are posted on the championship's official website, ardf2019.hamradio.si. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Top honors are being given out by the Radio Club of America this autumn, and hams number among the recipients. Here's Jack Parker, W8ISH, with the details.
A number of radio amateurs are among those being honored by the Radio Club of America as recipients of the group's 2019 awards. They include Ham Nation's own Bob Hyo, K9EID, who is being given the Alfred H. Grebe Award for Excellence in Engineering and Manufacturing of Radio Equipment; Martin F. Jew, K5FLU, owner of MFJ Enterprises, who is receiving the Barry Goldwater Amateur Radio Award for his contributions to ham radio; Henry Richter, W6VZA, who is receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award, which recognizes significant achievements that have advanced the art and science of wireless technology; and George R. Stoll, WA0KBT, who is the recipient of the Fred M. Link Award for his achievements in land mobile radio communications. Hams also numbered among the RCA Fellows named, having been nominated for the honor by the membership. A list of all recipients this year and in previous years can be found at RadioClubOfAmerica.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The first astronaut from the United Arab Emirates has launched successfully into space, bound for the International Space Station, where he will conduct experiments and engage in radio communications back on Earth with the help of the Emirates Amateur Radio Society. Congratulations to Hazza al-Mansouri, who has made his nation the 40th country to send a citizen into space. Al-Mansouri lifted off on September 25th with his crewmates from Kazakhstan atop Russia's Soyuz FG rocket. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W5GAD repeater in Metairie, Louisiana at 8 p.m. local time during the Jefferson Amateur Radio Club Net. In Peoria, Illinois, recently two of Newsline's anchors and correspondents helped the Peoria Area Amateur Radio Club mark a milestone. Here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, and Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
From the Peoria, Illinois Superfest, this is Paul, WD9GCO, and
Don, AE5DW, from the 100th anniversary of the Peoria Area Amateur Radio Club.
Don was invited to be one of the speakers at a forum to talk about Ham Nation and Amateur Radio Newsline, and I was invited to come along. We also had
Drew Vreba, KC9 Zulu Juliet X-Ray, the current Young Ham of the Year. They participated in the forum today, and the kit building session with Joe Eisenberg, K0N. NEB, and it's been a great experience, a great ham fest up here.
Absolutely. If you're in the Midwest, it's a reasonably large one, big flea market area, indoor area with dealers and such, and nice prize drawings. This year, there is a separate raffle for a Flex, and we had a very nice turnout. We had good questions. People are very appreciative of what we do. A lot of fond memories of Bill, which is always a good thing to hear when you're out.
Yeah, it really was, and I'm just wanted to thank the membership of the Peoria Area Amateur Radio Club for inviting me up here and making it possible for me to be here, and we had a great time. It was my first time to the great state of Illinois, and it happens to coincide with my birthday, which comes up on the 25th, so it was the Peoria Superfest and Don's birthday party, and good time was certainly had by me, and I hope you too, Paul, and pretty much everybody else that we ran into. You know, Huntsville always says that they're the friendliest ham fest. Well, I gotta tell you, Peoria gives them a run for their money because the hospitality is absolutely second to none up here.
From Peoria, Illinois, at the Peoria Area Amateur Radio Club's Superfest 2019, this is Paul, WD9GCO.
And Don, AE5DW, for Amateur Radio Newsline.
In Norway, there are plans to upgrade one transmitter and shut another down. One is long wave and the other medium wave. Jeremy Boot, G4NGH, has those details.
Norway's government-owned broadcaster, NRK, has announced that it will shut down its long-wave transmitter on 153 kHz in October, citing low audiences for the AM service. Officials held a consultation in 2018 regarding the planned shutdown, but said no one came forward with objections at the time. In the same announcement, NRK said it planned to upgrade its medium-wave transmitter on 1485 kHz. The 1,000-watt transmitter is still widely used, they added, and the frequency would be useful for preparations for emergency operations, noting in a letter to the National Ministry of Culture that the facility was aging. NRK said it would undertake an upgrade that would boost the power from 1 to 3 kilowatts, making it Norway's last AM station, since the number of listeners in Norway had continued to shrink as a result of other means of reception. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci, 4NJH.
The ARRL has renewed a request it made earlier to the FCC asking for changes in the way limits are set on data transmission. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, has the details.
The ARRL has asked the FCC to remove symbol rate limits on data transmissions and adopt a 2.8 kHz bandwidth limit instead. This is the group's second request to the agency for such a change. The FCC had earlier proposed removing the symbol rate limits, but did not agree with the ARRL recommendation on bandwidth. In renewing its request, the ARRL contends that the symbol rate limits, which date to the 1980s, are a hindrance to efficient modern data modes. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
As Newsline went to production, Will Wyquist, an FCC spokesman, said in an email that the agency is still reviewing the request and had no timeline for decisions. There are changes ahead for the International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend held each summer, but as John Williams, VK4JJW, tells us, they're only temporary.
Although the International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend has been something of a tradition itself since its beginnings in 1998, that tradition is going to be a bit flexible in the year ahead. In 2020, instead of global activations taking place on the third full weekend of August, they'll migrate to the weekend of August 22nd and 23rd. The temporary change is being made to accommodate the 75th anniversary of Victory Over Japan Day, which marks the surrender of that nation's imperial government in World War II, and which will see many commemorative special event stations around the Pacific bordering nations, including Australasia. Organisers are hopeful that the 2020 event will bring the same high level of participation as this year's, which attracted amateurs from 50 countries for a total of 426 stations. The activations will cover a period of 48 hours, in keeping with tradition. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, there are only a few days left to work John, WB6Z in the Mariana Islands. He is using the call sign KH0/WB6Z from Saipan until the 30th of September. Listen for him on 40 through 10 meters using CW, SSB, and FT8. QSL via JF1 OCQ. The Polish special event station HF60KJM is on the air marking the 60th anniversary of the club station SP9KJM. QSL to SP9KJM, direct by the Bureau, LOTW, or EQSL. Listen for Renee DL2JRM operating as NH3YY from Malta from the 18th to the 22nd of October. Renee will be on 80 through 10 meters using CW and SSB. He also will be participating in the Werchtal Germany contest on October 19th and 20th. QSL to his home call sign, direct or by the Bureau. Anton ON6NL is active as 5XHC in Uganda until the 7th of October. Send QSLs to him direct at his home call sign, by the Bureau or LOTW. Whether you're a short-timer or a long-timer as a ham radio operator, our final story is for you. Mike Askins, KE5-CXP, is clocking in to explain.
When it comes to the celebration of a centennial, you might just say that, well, it's finally time. Time, in this case, isn't just the 100 years marking this one HF station's operation in the United States. Time is also the commodity that that station, WWV, delivers. Located outside Fort Collins, Colorado, WWV, government licensed since 1919, transmits the national time standard, which is synchronized with Coordinated Universal Time. It's what we hams call UTC, and it keeps all of us in sync with one another. The station is marking its birthday on the 1st of October, a birthday its operators feared it might not see a few years ago when the government proposed shutting it down as a cost-saving measure. Now, of course, it's going to be one big party from September 28th through October 2nd, as the Northern Colorado Amateur Club and the WWV Amateur Radio Club, with help from many other operators around the country, work in shifts on the various HF bands from the station itself. Operations will include 160 meters and 6-meter meteor scatter. The call sign is WW.